If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Today on the Zabecast, NFL draft drama has never been higher, thanks to the league's most inept team having about 37 different ways to screw it up. Don't blow it, Brownies. We got Mike Francesa on his way back to WFAN. The big ginger Tim Murray is in the house. All that plus tortilla crime just doesn't pay. If you've got 45 minutes to kill, then buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Tuesday, April 24th, 2018. Thank you for downloading and thank you for listening. Of course, one day after I praise Russell Westbrook right here on the Zabecast, he and his Thunder get routed by the Jazz, and Westbrook picks up four fouls in the first half trying to, quote, shut that shit down on Ricky Rubio, and he starts a fight in the second half, or a near fight, a near brawl with a clothesline that was definitely a cheap shot. Okay, it's not Russell Westbrook's best night, I'll grant you that. I never said he was perfect, I just said he was my favorite player. So in full honesty and full transparency, I went to bed last night and did not have this game on, didn't watch it. But I woke up and I started reading the tweets and the recaps and seeing snippets of it. And I said, okay, I need to go get the full highlight package to get the full scope of just what happened last night. Because all I saw was the Mitt Romney holding up four fingers wearing his Rodney Hood number 5 Jazz jersey, but it said Romney on the back. And a dress shirt underneath, and of course the internet nearly died wetting its pants in laughter and making funny memes and jokes and everything else. So anyway, I went to go get the highlights. Now this is a complaint that's ongoing with me, and if I've made it before here on the Zabecast, I apologize, but I'm going to make it again. So I'm like, okay, everyone says we can't just have regular SportsCenter in the morning because everyone gets their highlights on their phone. You can get your highlights online whenever you want. Okay, fine. I said, I want a highlight package of everything that happened in the Jazz-Oklahoma City game. And I want it, you know, where would I go to get it? On the internet. I said, I could go to NBA.com, but let me go to ESPN because I'm hoping for some ESPN-ish treatment, you know, with the ESPN announcers and more than just the clips you'll get on NBA.com. So I find the game recap on the NBA scoreboard at ESPN.com, and I go ahead and play it. Now, of course, I've got to sit through a 30-second commercial because, hey, nothing's free. People have to pay for shit. Right. Except for the Zabecast. That is free for now. I'm kidding. It's always going to be free. Some version will always be free.
Game 4, Thunder visiting the Jazz. In Game 3, Ricky Rubio was big. Had a triple-double. Russell Westbrook.
Now, the first thing I noticed playing this was, hey, wait a minute. That's not anyone I know and their voice on SportsCenter. That's not an A-level head. This is some digital wannabe who thinks he's going to be the next Dan Patrick, who is or Scott Van Pelt, and he is now grinding away doing these online recaps. Okay, I'll give him a chance. He sounds okay.
Here's his thoughts.
He made some shots. You know, too comfortable. But I'm going to shut that next game, though. Guarantee that.
Oh, snap!
Okay,
Westbrook,
all right.
Rubio, matched up throughout the night. First quarter, Russ goes glass. Nice bucket. Ensuing inbounds, Westbrook
I think that was a flop, by the way. The foul they just showed there. I can't see it, Zabe. It's a Zabe cast.
Now we go to the second quarter.
I think it was the second foul he got.
Attacking, rejected by Westbrook.
I didn't think that was a foul either. I think there was a little bit of contact there, but okay.
Can't believe it.
Block charge.
Just over 1:30 to go.
And there's his fourth foul.
And guess what? Another foul.
In the first half.
On Westbrook. Four in the first
I think
half.
Rubio flopped at least twice. Another one of the fouls was a little bit
boards,
questionable.
Foul trouble clearly hampered his performance. In the third quarter, Rubio to Rudy Gobert for the alley-oop. Rubio, 13 points, 8 assists.
By the way, this highlight package has zero, exactly zero, Oklahoma City Thunder highlights. It's all Jazz highlights. There's no, you know, it's as if OKC wasn't in the game at all. And I know they, at the end, were getting blown out.
Meanwhile, temper starting to flare at the 5:30 mark. Jay Crowder fouled, gets caught between several Thunder players.
He wasn't fouled. He was clotheslined by Westbrook.
See Mitchell there. Seems pretty excited. Take another look at what happened with Crowder. He was jawing with Carmelo, then hit Steven Adams in the face. The Jazz go on to win 113-96.
Okay, now let's just stop and recap there. That was 2 minutes and 7 seconds of the supposed full recap online of, hey, Thunder Jazz. You don't need SportsCenter. Everyone gets their highlights on their phone. There was no sound bites of the players afterwards. Talking to Westbrook saying, what'd you think? Same thing for Rubio. There is no inclusion of the highlight of the night, which was the Mitt Romney thing holding up four fingers. You know SportsCenter would have done that. I'm sure they did do that. No A-list announcers, and there's no analyst afterwards going, I'll tell you what, here's why Oklahoma City Thunder is, here's why the Thunder are flaming out right now. Here's where Carmelo Anthony needs to step up. Here's why the chemistry is not right between Westbrook and Paul George. Here, none of that. You don't get any of that in this package. And I know you're going to say, well, go to SportsCenter for that, which is actually in the mornings on ESPN2, a regular SportsCenter. And I'm like, okay, I will. But why are you telling me, everyone, that nobody wants highlights anymore, that the old model of SportsCenter is broken because of the digital age? I want the full treatment. And it would have been nice. You know, they use editors to cut up these digital highlight packages that are not the best editors either at ESPN. And so they put together an edited package that is not very balanced. I mean, you got to show me one or two good Oklahoma City Thunder plays. You have to in a two-minute package. And how do you leave Romney out of it? Like, that's the best visual in the highlight package. Jazz 113, Thunder 96. The Rockets just waylaid the Timberwolves, 119-100, including a 50-point third quarter. 50. On pace for 200 points in the game, 119. Since when do we give scores on the Zabe cast? We don't. And with that, let's say hi to Tim Murray. Tim Murray of SB Nation AM joins us here on the Zabe cast. Good morning, Mr. Murray. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be back. I thought the terrible reviews would scare you away, but as many people have told me, you just need 51% of the people to like
fuck
you.
Yeah. So. Fuck the haters, man. The haters don't know what they don't know, and they're going to come around on you. And besides, for every one negative Nelly, there was 9 positive.
No, it was. I'm joking. There was one or two negative douchebags out there, but for the most part, people love to have Zabe and me back together. It was fun.
But the thing is, too, there's now a shtick. There is now a shtick of no matter what you do, you could give out the cure to cancer on the air and be like, "Yeah, but I didn't like how he said it, asshole, Murray." So anyway,
I was told I have to. There was a request, so I have to.
Your levels are higher. I'm looking.
I'm
at
a man
right
of
now.
The, and I'm a man of the people. New York 14, Minnesota 1.
Ah, there you go.
Cleveland 2,
fucking
Baltimore
Didi
1.
Fucking Didi Gregorius just hitting bombs.
Look
last
at you,
night.
Baseball guy.
I'm allowed to
Jesus.
Know one. I'm allowed to know one small fact about a game last night.
Oakland 9,
yes,
Texas
there you
4.
Go.
All right, we're good.
Enough of the baseball. Let's start with the football because you have been scouting the draft. We are now closing in on 3 days until the draft, And it's going to be a blockbuster draft.
It's
going to
be awesome.
It's going to be so fucking good. Yesterday I said, man, I remember the 2013 draft with Luke Jokel and Eric Fisher. Stink, stank, stunk. In fact, the third highest drafted player was Lane Johnson. Or I'm sorry, he was drafted fourth by the Eagles. So in other words, you had O-linemen go three of the top four picks.
Ugh.
And they were like, no trades either.
Yeah.
This is going to be trade-a-palooza. Barkevious
Mingo was the sixth overall pick in that draft.
Barkevious Mingo. At least he's still in the league, right?
I believe so.
Barkevious Mingo. Undersized rush end out of Alabama.
Man, that was a no. Right? I'm looking back at that draft. There was no sexiness in that draft at all.
It was death is what it was. This is shaping up to be one of the most rock and roll blockbuster. Who's going to do what? Trade-filled drafts ever, and it's at Jerry World. Why, that's right. We might even get up in the mix as well. Don't discount us. I've been looking at the stage they're building in Jerry World for the draft, and it is massive. And I have to stop myself and remember the earliest footage, young Tim, of when ESPN said, please let us televise this, and the NFL said, why? And ESPN said, because we're tired of putting truck pulls on the air. And besides, we do think people might find it interesting. And the footage of the early NFL drafts, literally in the courtyard and ballrooms of like Marriott's. And now look at it. It's in Jerry World. Spectacular.
And now three, count them, three television networks will be airing the NFL draft.
Three networks. It's now a traveling road show. And there are cities vying and bidding for this thing, like, ooh, 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 we want it. The draft lasts 3 days now, whereas it used to just start on a Saturday and go all day, and I think they mopped up on a Sunday back in the day.
Yeah, they used to do 1-3 Saturday, and it used to be 15 minutes in between picks in the first round, which was brutal.
Is that what it used to be, 15?
Yeah.
And what is it now?
And they did 4-7. I believe it's 10 minutes for the first round, 5 minutes for the second round. And then I don't even know if they put up a clock post-second round. I think they're just like, make your fucking pick. Let's go.
Oh, hurry up. Exactly.
Yeah.
What if the draft went like fantasy drafts, in which if a team knew who they wanted, they could just click select right away, and it accelerated things, and it made, you know, the draft go even faster? Would that?
What year was that, Zabe?
Would that suck, or would that be great?
I think that would be great.
You do?
What year was it when Mike Tice forgot to? What year was it when Mike Tice forgot to turn in his card?
The Vikings missed their pick 1 year. It was like 10 years ago, and they had to slip down one pick. I think
that was.
I don't think they go to the end of the line. I'll talk to Church about that. I've got him.
No, they don't. They just keep going back, and then teams are racing up because they could beat them to that pick. I want to say that was nuts.
that's pretty bad. You spent all this time, all these months, you have all these people in the war room, and it's like, are we picking somebody? Oh shit, we missed the deadline. Damn it. What's wrong with you? And of course Mike Tice just looks like such a dope. Nice guy, nice fella. But with the look like a butcher with that grease pencil behind his ear, dummy. So I want to know what you think is going to happen in the draft. Because gonna happen versus should happen are two different things. I want first the Tim Murray, here's what's gonna happen in the draft.
I think there is a very legitimate shot, and we talked about this a bit last week, that there will be four quarterbacks drafted in the first five picks.
With the only abstention from quarterback
being the Browns again.
The Browns a second time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think all this smoke out there, and that's what the beauty of this past couple weeks is you've got the Cleveland Browns talking about, oh, you know, we might like Josh Allen. Oh, we might take two quarterbacks, 1-4. Oh, we like Baker Mayfield. I think push comes to shove, they do end up drafting Sam Darnold.
Okay.
And then I guess if you draft Sam Darnold, then the Giants might not go quarterback, even though you are adamantly opposed to that.
I think they should take a quarterback. When are they going to be up here this high again?
That's
with
true.
All these different guys available to them. Running backs, I know Saquon Barkley's silly, but running backs get hurt.
There are so many good running backs in this class, too.
Yes, potentially, although I saw Sony Michel might have a medical red flag on him now.
Now it's that time.
But there's other guys out
Darius
there.
Darius Geis is great. All right,
so back to the smoke screens, though. Like, you saw the report last week, Kevin Clark writing for The Ringer, and Kevin's a very good writer and knows his stuff, but he is not immune to being used by teams that want to sell a story out there. Kevin Clark wrote that, hey, don't laugh, but the Browns are actually kicking around the idea of, why don't we take a quarterback with both picks in the top four and double our chances that one of the guys are good. He actually wrote that. Now, as I think about it now, this is probably the Browns saying, oh no, we really believe this, and convincing Kevin Clark to then write it because it puts pressure on other teams that might want to trade up to go get a quarterback if they soak up two of the five elite quarterbacks. Am I right?
Well, that's the whole thing, is that the Browns desperately want the number two pick to be used on a quarterback, because much as McCagnan can say, I don't know why the Jets GM, I don't know, why is everyone so enamored with the quarterback?
They're locked in the quarterback because you don't have a quarterback.
Listen here, motherfucker. You traded 2 second-round picks this year and a second next year to move up 3 spots 6 weeks ago. You're drafting a quarterback at 3. That is a guaranteed lock. You are drafting a quarterback. You're not moving up 3 picks, Zabe, and going, well, you know, maybe Quentin Nelson there, he's pretty good, we might draft. No, you don't draft a guard after trading those assets. So, McCagnan, shut the fuck up. You know you're drafting a quarterback. But what the Browns desperately want, Zabe, is number two to be used on a quarterback, whether that's the Giants using it there, somebody trading up. Because then at 4, what do the Browns have? They have the pick of everybody. They can get Bradley Chubb. They could get Saquon Barkley. They get the best player in the draft at number 4.
So why don't they just get the best player at 1? Like, if you're going to try to execute this elaborate ruse, what's the difference between getting Barkley at 4 and a quarterback at 1 versus Barkley at 1 and a quarterback at 4?
Well, because this franchise has been desperate forever for a quarterback, so you want to
pick
your...
They're going to get a quarterback at 4.
You may not get your guy. You might get Josh Allen, who sucks.
Well, guess what?
You might get him at 1, too.
Guess what? You're not that smart to know which one is actually the best.
I know.
Every team thinks they're smart enough to go, no, this guy's the best. No, this guy's the best. At the end of the day, you don't fucking know, basically. They're all clustered together. They all have a certain weakness to them.
But wouldn't you rather miss on a quarterback at 1 than, and then for a third straight year? Because now this franchise has the stigma of, well, this franchise traded out and Carson Wentz was picked.
Well, there are,
they could have got Deshaun Watson.
Right.
So what happens if they went by your plan? They went Saquon Barkley, and he's very good. I think he'll be very good in the NFL. But Josh Allen or Josh Rosen goes 2 or 3, and they're a fucking baller.
Boy,
and now
to you, by
you're
the way.
Sitting there.
I should
there.
Point out to you that technically you could be cited for swearing at us like that.
I think you're out of coupons for this Zabecast today. Love it.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
I get excited.
No, that's okay. Well, okay, that's understood. You all make very good points there. Now, what if the Browns said, oh, we're not done with the process yet. We're going to take Barkley and Chubb, a running back at a defensive end. We're rolling into this year with Tyrod Taylor. We're going to probably win 7 games, maybe. We're going to have a hell of a year. We're going to win 7 more games than last year. But we're not done. We're going to get our quarterback maybe next year. There's more suffering in store, Browns fans. What if they were to do that? What if they were to say, we're running the long, long con here? The deep game, as it were. Huh?
What if they do? That'd be crazy.
Be very hard to sell, wouldn't it? It'd be so painful if you're a Browns fan to go, really? Really? We passed on a quarterback?
What if, Zabe, they did your plan? They took the two best players in the draft. They took Saquon 1, Bradley Chubb 4, and they said, listen, I know we've messed up on quarterbacks since this franchise has come into existence, but just trust us. Mike White is the future of this franchise. The former Western Kentucky quarterback, we're going to get him in the 3rd round. Everybody's sleeping on him. He is the next great quarterback. Now, there's your old pull the rug from underneath everyone. Mike White, the guy they've been thinking of all along.
Mike White. Well, besides the Fab Five at quarterback, who is next down the list?
Everyone says Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State.
Okay.
And
so you could grab him in the 2nd. Actually, the Browns are missing a third, aren't they? Or
they're
second?
Missing the first pick in the third round. They traded that to Buffalo.
All right, so they've got a second rounder. They could take a quarterback in the second. So assuming that Lamar Jackson's gone in the second, which he might not be.
He will be.
I know. But he's, well, okay,
I think Mason Rudolph might be gone by the second round. There's a chance.
Wow.
I doubt that, but that would be a clear overdraft. But teams are desperate for quarterbacks. By the way.
Okay, scenario one is take Sam Darnold, watch the Giants take Barkley, watch the Jets take Baker Mayfield, and then the Browns at number four would take who? With already their quarterback in their pocket.
To real quickly clear it up, the Browns have 3 second-round picks.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Holy 33, shit, 35, and 64.
Okay. All right, so let's say they take Sam Darnold one, mm-hmm. and then they come to four having watched the Giants take Barkley and the Jets take Baker Mayfield. Because don't you think that's the most likely? Barkley
yes.
to the Giants, Mayfield to the Jets?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
So they're now at number four. They've got their quarterback in their pocket.
They run up. They get Bradley Chubb.
Okay. And you put him opposite Myles Garrett, and you're like, we're sick now, defense.
And then you've got Ogba, the dude they drafted from Oklahoma State a couple years ago. He becomes a rotational guy. You've got a pretty nasty D-line building there. And, yeah, you've got Garrett, right. number one overall pick, Chubb.
And then let's say that Chubb is not available.
Hold on.
Let's say the Giants
take Chubb,
trade out of two to a thirsty girl like the Dolphins or the Bills who go up to two to get their quarterback at two. And so now it's gone Sam Darnold and let's say Josh Allen, 1-2, okay? And then Baker Mayfield, 3, quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Now the Browns have the choice of Chubb or Barkley at 4. Then what do you do, Mr. Murray?
I think
Murray?
You go Barkley.
You do, okay.
Yeah, I think you go Barkley.
Every writer in America declares the Browns just won the draft.
Of course.
They got their quarterback in the future, and they got Chubb. Or they got Barkley. I just don't see it on Darnold. I know that he's supposedly the best all-around guy. I haven't heard a single thing that anyone says Sam Darnold does the best. The best.
Agreed.
He doesn't have the best arm like Josh Allen. He doesn't have the best pure passing ability like Rosen. He doesn't have the best athleticism like Jackson. And he doesn't have the best, attitudinal moxie of Mayfield. He's just Johnny all-around, which means it could be Johnny suck-around. But we don't know. And that's why
when we did Great Mess Suck last week, I said he'll be meh. I think he'll be fine. He'll be, a top. He'll be Case Keenum. He'll be getting contracts in 8 years. You'll be like, oh yeah, Sam Darnold. Yeah, good. Yeah, he's okay. we could deal with him.
Yeah. Did you see what Brian Billick said about what went wrong with Kyle Bowler?
No.
Okay, this is
I would love to hear that.
All right, this is this looks like it's from a book or a column that he wrote. I think this is a NFL.com column that Billick penned. Here's what he writes. He says, "Now one of the main reasons I'm calling games and working for NFL Network and not still coaching for the Ravens is that I was unable to develop a Pro Bowl quarterback during my 9 years in Baltimore. It wasn't for lack of trying. In the 2003 NFL draft, we had to get a quarterback. We had gone through the normal progression of cast-offs, even won a Super Bowl at that. But going forward, we needed someone around whom we could build our team. With the 19th pick in the draft, we selected Kyle Bowler of Cal. He excelled in a pro-style offense, had a live arm, and a good head on his shoulders. I remember the tales of, like, man, Kyle Bowler can throw it from the 50-yard line on his knees into the end zone. And they're like, yeah, but if you're on your knees, you're down. So that would be a sack. Phil Savage, then our director of personnel, had been tracking Bowler all year and got more and more excited about him as the year went on. First of all, that's number one rule. Don't fall in love with any of these guys. Don't start getting all juiced up. It clouds your brain. It's literally like falling in love, Mr. Murray. When you're in love, it's a wonderful feeling, but it clouds the logical part of your brain. You don't think this woman is a bitch. She's controlling. But I'm in love, I tell you. So he's falling in love with Bowler. The three main names coming out of that draft were Carson Palmer from USC, Leftwich from Marshall, and Bowler. All had the credentials. All were projected as early first-round picks. He says, the scouts said, each one of them said, well, this guy's good, but. And it's because, according to Billick, it's so that if a player doesn't turn out as projected, the scout can turn back and say, well, I did say he had blank. For these three, the qualifiers were specific. With Palmer, people worried about his leadership. He did not seem to have a lot of the personal charisma you normally associate with a quarterback. Although he was a bright and young, intelligent man, you could come out of the interview not real fired up about Carson Palmer as a leader. By the way, how'd that assessment turn out?
Was he not a leader?
No, I'm just asking. He seemed like he did okay.
Yeah.
Played
I thought Carson
lead.
Palmer.
You played in the league for 15 years. How bad
right.
could he be? He was not Jeff George. Okay. Such was not the case with the next two. Leftwich and Bowler had energy and leadership ability in spades. The concerns with Leftwich were his previous injuries and lack of mobility in the pocket. For Bowler, it was his accuracy. With Palmer, we liked enough of the rest that we thought he could grow into the leadership role. With Leftwich, we were convinced that his mobility was no worse than a lot of NFL QBs. With Bowler, we decided that his lack of quality receivers at Cal was a significant part of the reason for his lack of accuracy. Now, scritch, 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 my chinny chin chin, Murray.
Have we heard that at all this draft?
Who does that remind you of? Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, writes Billick, we were able to secure the New England Patriots' first-round pick, the 19th overall, which we used to take Bowler. By the way, they traded down two spots. The Patriots at 21, with their extra pick, took none other than Vince Wilfork. And now you know the rest of the story turned out pretty
this
good.
This was the draft, Zabe, that the time expired with Minnesota.
Oh, you found it.
Yeah, okay. So I'm looking up the 2003 draft. So Carson Palmer goes one.
We interrupt,
and number
we interrupt
seven,
this Bowler anecdote because we're not done yet with the
number
mop
seven
bump.
Was Byron Leftwich, who went to Jacksonville at seven. That was Minnesota's spot. Time expired, and then Carolina ran up and drafted an offensive tackle, Jordan Gross, and then Minnesota, two picks later, drafted Kevin Williams, D tackle out of Oklahoma State.
And Kevin Williams was pretty good as well.
Yeah, he was.
He starts taking star caps.
T Sizzle was 10th overall to the Ravens.
Okay, now we resume. So with Bowler, we decided, writes Billick, that his lack of accuracy was because of a lack of quality receivers at the time at Cal. Within a couple of years, we had learned that Bowler's inaccuracy was not solely the result of poor receivers at Cal, but also Kyle's occasional nervousness in the pocket, which forced his fundamentals to falter at critical times and thus left him a sub-60% completion guy in his career. So it didn't work out for Bowler or for me, writes Billick. I left after the 2007 season. What did you say there? I left after the you what? I left. That's weird, Coach Billick, because I recall that you're fired. Don't you love how guys write, I left. Yeah. Oh, what happened to the other job? I left. Yeah? How'd
didn't
you
really
leave?
Like the way the leadership was.
Yeah. How'd you leave? Well, through the front door. Yeah, well, on your own volition.
Did security escort you out, or did
right.
you?
How'd you leave? Was your shit in a box when you walked out, yes or no? That's all I want to know. If it was, and they said, give us your key card, that's that. So the net on Bowler was this. He got scared. He got nervous in a pro pocket because pro pockets are more dangerous, ferocious, mean places than college pockets. And he got, he didn't have it. He didn't have the fighter pilot nerves it takes to play at the pro level. And I guess either there's no way to know that, or maybe the Ravens didn't do their due diligence. Maybe they didn't say, wait a minute, rewind that play again. Here's some front side pressure. Why is he resetting his feet? Why is his base narrow here? How come he drops his arm angle? Let's look more on that. Give me some other cut-ups of plays in which he's got pocket pressure or a muddy pocket, as they say. Boy, it looks like his fundamentals are breaking down when that happens. I wonder why that is. You know what? Next time we have him in or on the phone, let's ask a little bit about that. I guess either they did or they didn't do that. Part of it is their scout or their GM, Savage, started to fall in love with Bowler during the year. When you fall in love with somebody, whether it's a quarterback or a woman, you overlook a lot of things like she leaves her dirty underwear on the bathroom floor. Ugh. But guess what? She's great in bed, and she's great in the kitchen. Ah, the draft, it's a mystery.
The great in bed is basically, but he's got a big arm. Did you see how far? So many of these. Well, we could fix the mechanics and whether or not he can pick up a defense, but have you seen that arm?
Is that like saying a girl gives a mean blowjob?
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah, it's the podcast. I don't have to bleep that out. See, that's how late the bleep was on. I can just say, yeah, she gives an awesome blowjob. So therefore,
now, how many coupons does it take to say that word?
You have to have the drawer of coupons like I do right here in my desk, Murray. Can you hear the drawer of coupons there? There it is.
You've been saving them up. You've been saving them up.
All the swearing coupons you want right there. Let's pivot to the NBA playoffs.
Can we pivot to the breaking news that Mike Francesa is coming back to WFAN?
Is he coming back or does he want to come back?
No. Now, New York Daily News is reporting he's coming back, Zabe, 3 to 7 p.m.
Get the fuck out. They're pulling the plug on the Maggie Gray, Chris Carlin, Bart Scott fiasco after 3 months?
All right, so from the New York Daily News.
Because, by the way, as we tape this on Tuesday morning, mm-hmm. and actually it will air today, the Zabe Castle Post at noon today. As of this morning, Francesa was quoted in Newsday.
I want to come back.
I want to come back mainly because people at FEM were conspiring against me coming back and saying, you better not come back. So now Mike Francesa is like, fuck it, I am coming back.
So this this from the New York Daily News, it was updated at 10:34. We are taping at 10:56, so 22 minutes ago.
Okay.
Unless there is a last-minute snag in negotiations, Mike, Sports Pope Francesa, will soon return to WFAN, the Daily News has learned. Francesa will head back into the 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. slot, according to well-embedded Hudson Street Rats fan headquarters.
Oh, my God.
The sources say, Zabe, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. will be divided between Joe Bignone,
Joe Benigno,
and Evan Roberts, currently fans 10 to, so the 10 to 3 a.m. team is going to be split, and the show of Carlin, Gray, and Scott will go into that 10 to 3 slot. So they're going to split the Benigno and Roberts show, I guess, in half,
and they'll move
and Carlin, Gray,
move
and Scott.
The threesome to mid mornings.
Correct.
And I
sources did not know Francesa's exact starting date, but said it would be soon.
Wow. What was the point of all this?
Unbelievable. He milked this fucking retirement tour to the bottom of the barrel.
They
named the studio after him.
He bragged about how he didn't want to stay. They were begging him to stay. He said no. And then afterwards, when what's his name got pinched in the morning, Carton,
by
the feds, they went to him again and said, God, with all this upheaval in our lineup, maybe could you think about staying? And he's like, nah, I'd do anything to help the company, but I've committed to doing this and I'm going to go do something else in life. And now he's coming back. Oh my God!
Heath Slaycott.
He
hasn't come fast enough.
Have you heard? Yeah.
Have you heard the stuff about him and Shohei? He's like, what? Ohtani is terrible.
Yeah, absolutely, killing Shohei, saying it's going to be the biggest disaster. He's going to say the Yankees are lucky to not have him.
Yeah.
Well, instead
and then they had a couple months earlier. It's like the Yankees will definitely go after Ohtani.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. But he's now at the point where he's such a familiar, comforting voice.
Oh yeah.
In the afternoon,
he's the Pope, man.
Nobody gives a fuck if he's wrong. Mm-mm. Nobody gives a fuck if he's completely delusional and contradicts himself. They just want that bossy New York voice. That voice of I am the sports guy. It doesn't matter. Being right doesn't matter. That's one thing I want you, young Jedi, to get through your head. Being right doesn't pay.
Well, as we talked about yesterday, it doesn't matter. Last week. It was all about hot takes and doesn't fucking matter.
Problem
well,
is,
research shit doesn't mean.
Problem is how much can you live with yourself by doing the most sleazy, lame-o, hot takery, getting into, you know, these feuds and these arguments. At some point, if you try to be a normal guy, you have to ask yourself, like, who are my friends? Like, who are Colin Coward's friends? Is he a guy's guy? Does he? I mean, I guess he probably does have friends that are in the million-dollar club. Like, he has millionaire friends, and so those are his friends, right?
I mean, what about?
Who are Skip Bayless's friends?
Who are Clay Travis's friends?
Another good point. I never hear Travis talking about my buddy so-and-so.
Yeah, I went out and got beers with my boys.
My Mississippi State fan pal, Mongo, or anything like that. Almost like he's angling himself so that he's always the star of the show. He's always the center of the universe and the stars and the moon, and there's nobody else. Like, he doesn't want to share anything but him. And that could be a calculated strategy, and it could be the correct strategy for making the most of his career and the most money. I can't do that. I can't not be a normal person. I just can't. Like Will Cain, this guy now who is trying to make a run of it as the token conservative on ESPN. Like, I listen to his shtick, and I say to myself, okay, that was decently done. That there was a little bit of artfulness to the way you crafted that argument, but, dude, listen to yourself. You sound like a douchebag. Like, who would want to sit next to you on a plane and have a conversation like this? This is not even a conversation. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, I don't get it with, I mean, he's the other side of the argument all the time, but you don't always have to be the other side.
No, you don't.
There doesn't always have to be another side. And that's what, when he would host with Russillo, Russillo like turned to him and be like, do you really believe that?
I think that's why Russillo quit, because they were going to force the two to work together. And he's like, you know what? I'm not long for this world. Okay, what else is quickly on our to-do list here? And then do you have a fuck that guy for this week? I gave one yesterday.
I got some fuck that guys.
I've got one yesterday. I'm now debating whether or not I should give a fuck that guy 3 or 4 times a week, because I don't want to be too negative. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be happiness, peace, and love, man. I don't want to rip everybody.
You could do Monday, Wednesday, Friday, fuck that guy. Tuesday, Thursday, love that guy.
I made Lance, you're right, I could do that. I made Lance Stevenson my fuck that guy for his 4-step walk the other night. Okay, I'm glad you're on with me today. I'm glad you're on with me today because I know.
It was the greatest thing ever.
It was the greatest thing ever.
Oh, of course it was him too.
Okay, you as a basketball player understands this acutely. The coaches lose their mind, basketball coaches, about every possession. They rerun every possession in games in their head after tough losses, including ones from the first half. Like, God damn it, you know, we didn't get a good screen for an open three when we should have had it, and that affected things. So they live possession by possession. And yet NBA players oftentimes, like Lance Stevenson, don't give two shits about possession. They don't give two shits about valuing the ball. And they then take 4 steps without dribbling 65 feet away from the basket. It must drive coaches to the madhouse.
So I don't know if you were watching the game live, but when they called traveling, and I'm like,
he was kind of incensed. Like
he was incensed. I'm like, wow, he must have taken 1 step and they must have banged him for it. And then they showed the replay.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, bro, just
he
like put it's
it
not
like
even
a, he was
like
a running back.
Yeah, like doesn't that feel weird? If you're a basketball player, your whole life,
kids
dribble to and from school on the playground on sidewalks just to practice their handle off uneven sidewalks and cracks in the street and just to get one with the basketball. I'm moving, I'm bouncing. I'm moving, I'm bouncing. You never walk with it in your hand.
You know, when you get called for a travel, almost every time you're like, yeah, I traveled.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you shuffled your feet and you didn't feel it and you're like, oh, that's complete bullshit. But for the 99% of the time, and if you don't get called for, you're like, wow, I just got away with that one. Completely traveled. You know, that was unbelievable. But when he took the ball away from LeBron and he held it up like it was a trophy after the jump ball, it's incredible.
Is there not a value, even as much of a knucklehead as he is there not a value in having a Lance Stevenson on your team?
If he's in the right situation, he definitely is worth it. Okay. But if he, like when he went to Charlotte and they weren't very good and he was supposed to be like their best player, he doesn't work there. But when he is
he's coming off the bench. He's only useful when your team is contending.
Right.
And he can get under the skin of a star player on the other team.
Right. He is, I mean, I wouldn't say kryptonite because LeBron still scored 32 points against the Pacers, but he can, he got LeBron to get teed up. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive. People don't get under his skin very often.
All right, real quick, before we get to fuck that guy, Wizards prediction. They're tied 2-2 with the Raptors right now.
I was so happy to be wrong about this because they played great.
What were you
Friday
wrong about?
Sunday.
You thought they'd get swept?
Well, you were like, what's wrong with the Wizards? I was like, they're soft. They're a bunch of bitches. There's no way they're going to be able to play this.
Right.
And now they played well.
Hard.
John Wall was a beast.
All right, so quick prediction going forward. How many games is this series? And do they win
I think it goes seven. I think they lose game seven because it's D.C.
All right, well, there you go. Here we go, everybody. Buckle up.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, Murray, who's your nominee for the week?
I've got two guys, not particular guys, just
those
in general.
Guys. Yeah.
But maybe, unless you want me to go to, I'll go one because I know this guy. You've said many of times on the air, fuck this guy. Amateur program directors.
Okay. Amateur.
Guys who, as you have on the text line, 330-99 Zabe. God, how are you talking about the NFL draft, man? Nobody cares.
No one cares
about the NBA. I'm like, listen here, motherfucker. Do you want to do a show for 4 hours? What would you like us to talk about? The NFL draft is extremely popular.
And a lot of people are talking about it.
The nobody cares guy. Maybe that's a better way to put it. Nobody cares guy. Nobody cares. We got a text to the morning show that he would rather hear us talk about week one baseball than the NBA playoffs. I'm sorry, dude. You may not like the NBA, but it's the playoffs. We don't talk January NBA on this show. That's not what we do, and I know you don't do that. But when it's the playoffs, it's kind of a big deal. And also, football's not going on. You would really like us to break down the A's and Twins game last night. As opposed to the...
No.
Get the fuck out of here. So, yeah, the amateur PD / nobody cares guy.
Right.
Go
you
fuck
just
yourself.
Keep you just keep driving your Camry or Corolla or whatever piece of junk you're driving, and you listen to what we put out over the airwaves and you like it. Or go turn the channel.
Right.
And find some other sports radio host who sucks even worse than we do, who's even more boring than we are, who talks about shit you really, really don't care about even more.
If you're getting on our ass, Zabe, about talking too much NBA, turn on ESPN Radio, turn on Cowherd. That's all they talk about.
Their
daily LeBron versus Jordan debate. We don't do that shit.
I agree.
So if you're telling us, go away.
My fuck that guy is A-Rod yet again this week. I mean, seriously, I'm tired of his bullshit on Sunday Night Baseball. Nah, I'm done with him. All right, Mr. Murray, for those that want to follow you on Twitter, because you're a super sweet, hot follow, what do you got?
At one, Tim Murray.
And, of course, listen to Tim with the boys on SB Nation AM. Not sure what stations you're on. You're not on satellite.
We're on some stations.
You're on some stations.
Some stations carry us. Some stations don't.
Go to the website, SB Nation AM.
There you go.
Or SBNation.com. Thank you, Timmy.
Thank you.
All right, we'll end with this. I just don't understand our criminal justice system sometimes, and I think quite possibly it is the worst system in the world, with the one exception of every other system in the world and every other country and every other government. We have the worst, but it's still the best, if that makes any sense. It's just ridiculous. A county employee in Brownsville, Texas, has been sentenced to 50 years in jail. Now, I'm going to stop you right there and say, well, wait a minute. He must have done something really, really horrible. Like, you know, abducted several children, dismembered them, and then put them into a giant vat of pea soup and served it to other kids at the school. Is that what he did for 50 years in jail? No. He's been sentenced to 50 years in jail for fajita theft. I kid you not. Former Cameron County Juvenile Detention Center employee said he started out stealing small amounts of fajitas bought with county funds, but that his scheme soon ballooned, spinning out of control. 53-year-old Gilberto Escamilla says, I feel horrible. I wish I could take this back. It was selfish. It started small and got bigger and got out of control. It got to a point where I couldn't control it anymore. Members of the Cameron County District Attorney's Office arrested him in a sting last year after a driver from Labatt Food Service called the detention center's kitchen to let employees know that their 800-pound delivery of fajitas had arrived. Turns out that minor inmates at the detention center are not served fajitas. Bum, 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 bum. We got you now. You're ordering 800 pounds of fajitas. Well, everyone knows. Juvies don't get fajitas. The total value of the fajitas, which were stolen during a 9-year period, so it was a long-running grift, turned out to be $1.251 million. And the figure does not include the brisket, pork chops, sausage, and various types of chicken that Escamilla also admitted to stealing, according to court testimony. Now, that's bad. That's some serious-ass theft. $1.2 million. But 50 years? The DA's office asked the judge to give the defendant 50 years because of the amount of money stolen and because Escamilla was a public servant and to send a strong message to other public servants. Don't try to grift on the government's dime. Meanwhile, his attorneys had asked to consider probation, or at most 5 years in prison, adding that the man should be given a chance to repay the stolen taxpayer funds. I doubt he would have chipped away much in his remaining years at the $1.2 million in fajitas that he stole, but 50 fucking years? Are you kidding me? 50 years. Meanwhile, the wife of Omar Mateen, who clearly knew about her husband's plan to go slaughter 50 people in a gay nightclub in Orlando, she just got acquitted in her trial. How? Why? This guy, the father of the Waffle House shooter in Tennessee, who gave his son's guns back to him after the government had seized them because they're like, hey, this guy's fucking crazy. He should not be having guns. And they gave him to his father, and his father's like, yeah, I gave him back to him. Well, 4 people are dead now. A lot of people are wounded. Great. How come that father is not in prison right now? How come that fucker is not going to jail for 50 years? And I'm not excusing fajita theft. That's a serious thing, you know? You can't be doing that. I'd say a year in prison and probation after that with restitution would be an appropriate thing. But 50 years? Get out of here. Tortilla crime doesn't pay. That'll be a wrap for today. Oh, did I say wrap? Sorry. You know the drill. Tell 2 friends and the guy in the toll booth. Leave a positive review. Download, subscribe at all the major podcast outlets, iTunes, Google Play, Overcast, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and more. And as Abraham Lincoln once said, no man has a good enough memory to be a successful liar. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next time.